Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, if anyone is qualified to bring a pro-life message, I think it would be Melissa Oden. She's worked in social work for many years in the fields of substance abuse, mental health, domestic violence, sexual assault counselling, child welfare. She's got degrees in the field. But the most interesting thing about Melissa Oden is the fact that she's actually an abortion survivor. She's now a 33-year-old mum herself, and Melissa was just a teenager when she learnt that her birth mum had tried to terminate her life in the womb by a saline fusion abortion. The procedure thankfully failed. Melissa obviously survived, and today she's a passionate pro-life campaigner. I think you're going to be very interested in her story. She's currently in Australia and with us now. Melissa, welcome to Open House.
Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you. Quite an interesting story you've got. Now, you were raised by adoptive parents. Tell me about just your early years as you were growing up in this family.
Certainly. You know, I led a pretty normal life. I grew up in a small state in the Midwest in the United States, actually Iowa. And I always say, you know what, I grew up in a family where I didn't always have everything that I wanted, but I always had what I needed. Mm. And we were always very much loved. And really, ever since I can remember, I always knew that I was adopted. That was just perfectly normal in our family. I have an older sister who's also adopted from another family. And for many, many years, our parents tried to have a biological child of their own unsuccessfully. And the medical doctors could never determine why it was that they couldn't have a child. And about 15 years of trying later, they had their own biological child, my younger brother. Hmm. So adoption was very normal in our family. And, you know, I always share with people here in Australia, I had no idea how slim the numbers of adoptions are here in Australia.
Oh, very, very small, yeah. There used to be, I think, 1,000 every year back in the 60s, and these days it's probably 50 to 100 per year at the best.
Yeah, pretty much what I've heard is 50 to 60.
Yeah, that'd be about right too. So you grow up in this family that was obviously very healthy, and then as a teenager you find out the circumstances surrounding your birth. Now, a number of people who have actually been adopted will say there's an identity challenge right there, just simply having been adopted into a family, let alone discovering what you discovered. Just tell me, what was that like and the circumstances around you being told about what your birth mother tried to do?
Well, and certainly I agree with you so much. Heading into my teenage years, even though I was very much loved by my family and my community and my church, there was this piece of me that was really aching to find out who I was. And so then to find out at the age of 14 that I wasn't just adopted, that I had been aborted but born alive, it absolutely changed my life. And the only reason why I really found out is because my older sister became pregnant as a high school student. She was in about year 11, is what you would call it here in Australia. And I didn't know it at the time, but she was very much considering having an abortion. And so our adoptive parents told her about my survival in the hopes that she would choose life for her own, which she did. My nephew just turned 18 this summer. And I know that I saved his life, and I know that he saved mine in return, because in the middle of an argument with her, she really tipped me off to the fact that there was more to the story of my life, and she's the one who encouraged me to ask our mother about the truth, which I did. And, you know, there's no easy way for parents to have to tell their child something like my mother had to tell me that night. Mm. They had kept that secret for 14 years because it's so painful. You don't ever want your child to have to know something so hurtful.
Yes. Indeed. And what was the story?
Well, I actually sat my mother down and I told her about the argument that I had had with my sister. And I just, as much as my sister had acted rather oddly during our argument, so did my mom. And she started off by saying, you know, Melissa, we just always thought you knew. And as I shared, I had always known I was adopted. I had always known that I was born about 4 months premature. That never seemed to be anything unique to me. I knew lots of people who had been born premature. But she went on and said, you know, Melissa, we love you. We'll always love you. There's no easy way to say it. And she said, Melissa, your mother had an abortion during her fifth month of pregnancy with you, and you survived it. Hmm.
Tell me, as much as you can recollect, just the emotional impact of those words.
You know, it's interesting because I did some filming with the Australian Family Association the other day, and I was really put back into a place that I hadn't even let myself go to for so long. And the other day I really remembered for the first time just the depth of pain in that moment. You know, I talk a lot about the pain, but I finally flashed back and remembered how I absolutely fell apart. I was just so broken, and my mother clutched onto me and held me. And it could have been hours for all I know. It feels like it must have been, and we were both just sobbing uncontrollably. So the depth of that moment was huge, but I was every feeling you could possibly be in one moment of time. I was angry. I was angry at my biological parents when I first found out because I couldn't understand why they would have made that decision to end my life. Now, certainly time and maturity has helped me to not only know what it must have been like, but to see other people who have walked down that path. But I was angry at first, and I was so scared because I had never, ever heard of anyone like me before. And I was really scared because I didn't know who I was anymore.
Yes.
Everything I knew about myself really wasn't true. And even at the age of 14, I was a budding young feminist. And even though I knew in my heart abortion was wrong, there was this little part of me that thought some woman out there should be able to make a decision about her body. So for me to learn that my life would have been significantly just done and over because of a choice, I couldn't believe in that for any woman out there anymore.
Would have been a complete upheaval in everything that you actually were or had known. You actually survived two attempts, really, didn't you? Because there was the abortion attempt, which then resulted in you still being born and born alive. But then, from what I understand of your story, you actually were kind of left there to the point where you were kind of exposed. You were left to die.
Yes, absolutely. My mother thought she was about 18 to 22 weeks pregnant at the time she entered the hospital for the abortion. The medical doctors who have reviewed my records believe she could have been closer to 24 to 28 weeks, and actually one of the doctor's notations in the days right after I was born alive say that I look like I was close to about 31 weeks gestation. But you're exactly right. The abortion took place over 5 days, which is abnormal. That procedure should only take place over about a 3-day period. And so here I was subjected to this salt solution, which should have scalded me to death. And then my mother's labor was induced with Pitocin, and I was actually delivered in bed by a nurse on the 5th day and believed to be dead and actually left for dead near the bedside table. And as the nurse tended to my biological mother, she noticed that I was making some grunting noises and small movements. And she stepped in to alert the doctors, and then they stepped in to provide the medical care that sustained my life.
There you are. This is Open House. Right across the nation, you're listening to the story of Melissa Oden, survived an abortion, and as you can imagine now, is obviously a very strident voice for life. Do you know what was going on in the life of your birth mother when she chose to make that decision?
Certainly over the years, I've learned many things. She was 19 years old, and she was an unmarried college student. What I've learned in recent years is that she really didn't have a choice about her pregnancy. From what I've gathered from members of my biological family, it's that it was her own father who made her have that abortion. Everyone in my family on my mother's side had their PhD or their master's degree, and I would suspect that my grandfather had the best of intentions when he wanted her to have that abortion, thinking somehow I was going to ruin her life, that she wouldn't be able to continue on in her studies. But we know that it's not children that ruin people's lives, it's late-term abortions like my mother's that completely traumatize them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Well, did you ever have a relationship with your birth mother?
This is an interesting story. I actually started looking for my parents, my biological parents, when I was about 19. And first I wanted to find them because I really felt like I deserved to know the truth, kind of the who, what, where, when, why of it all. But very quickly in that process, I learned, of course, through God, that it wasn't about me knowing the truth. It was about me offering them forgiveness because I forgave them almost immediately after finding out about the decision they made to end my life.
Really? At the age of 14?
I really did.
Is that right? That's a huge thing to be able to do for any, a mature adult, let alone a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I think young people have it a bit easier than us as adults. We have a bit, I think you have a softer heart and a clearer mind. And I was actually getting confirmed that year at our local church, and I think that really played a huge part in it for me because other people were offering up John 3:16 and such verses like that for their confirmation verses, and mine was very clear to me. It was Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Yes. Boy, that takes on brand new meaning for somebody like in your situation, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
With your story.
So that certainly helped me to forgive them. And you know what? When we know, of course, that what Jesus did for us and that God gave his only son for us, for me to forgive my parents is not a big deal.
Did you, I think I'll probably cut in on your story, did you actually in the end track down your mom, your birth mom?
So I started looking when I was 19,
yeah.
And I didn't find them until I was almost 30 years old.
Okay.
In May of 2007, I finally received my medical records that I had been trying for so long to obtain. And in the medical records, they actually included my biological parents' names accidentally. She went on to marry someone else. And I'm not sure, of course, what her married name is, but I did find her parents. And I wrote them a letter in the summer of 2007 and let them know that I was alive and well and not angry or bitter about the circumstances that led to my arrival in this world, and let them know that I had forgiven my mother a long time ago, and I asked them to pass along that message to her. And they actually wrote right back to me within days, and it was my grandfather. And in the letter, the first thing he said was that they had been waiting. All these years they had been waiting for me to make some kind of contact. They had known about the pregnancy and the abortion and my survival. In the letter, he shared that my parents had dated for over 4 years before they became pregnant with me. And after the abortion, my mom went on to marry someone else and have two other daughters. The saddest part for me in that letter was my grandfather's comment that in recent years, my mother stopped speaking to them.
Okay.
And so because they weren't speaking, he would not be able to pass along my message of forgiveness to her. And that's the last time I've heard from anyone on my mother's side of the family.
I guess that would be a new grief for you in many ways, the fact that you can't kind of complete your forgiveness of your birth mom because you just can't quite get the message through.
Absolutely. I was, even though I forgave them a long time ago and I have not been angry in a long time, certain points, certain things happen in my life and it brings up the old anger, it brings up the rejection, the disappointment, and that was certainly one of those moments for me.
Yeah. And now, what about your dad? Did you ever make contact with him?
I did. I actually reached out to my father about a month before I contacted my grandparents, and really I did that because somehow in my heart I really wanted it to be that he never had any role in that decision to abort me. Unfortunately, I will never know the exact truth because he never responded to the letter that I sent him. But there is a very good reason why I've never heard back from him. It's actually because my father passed away in January of 2008.
Okay. What's the response that you get when you now go and deliver your message, your story, to audiences around the world?
Overall, the responses are fantastic. Most people have never heard about anyone like me. You know, we know Gianna had visited here a few years back, and certainly most people know Gianna and have now learned about me in the process, but people are shocked to know that children like us are aborted but born alive. They're shocked to find out the truth that there are children like us every day who are left to die. But overall, they are so inspired by the fact that we have lived and we have chosen to dedicate our lives to make the world a better place for other people.
And of course, so many women in Australia, in different parts, in your home country, in other parts of the world, who were actually in the position that your birth mother was in, who actually felt the pressure from family members. In fact, I think that's quite a common story where there's more pressure, say, from the partner or maybe even from the family of the birth mother to have an abortion because of all those standard kind of reasons. You know, you've got the whole of your life ahead of you, et cetera, et cetera. That's the challenge. What's your message to them? I mean, who knows who's listening now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's very interesting to me because there's usually two distinct people who first want to speak with me, either in person or by email. The first one is men, which used to shock me, and it doesn't anymore, because part of my ministry is about letting people learn from my father's experience. My father passed away from this world carrying the secrecy and the shame of the abortion with him. Mm. He never told a living soul. I can share that with men and say, you deserve better than that. Mm. Don't be silenced by abortion. Don't be convinced that abortion is none of your business, because it is.
That's such a very important point, isn't it? Men are completely shut out of this conversation, whether it be men kind of raising the issue in public. It might be male politicians or whatever. You know, what would you know? You're a man. But also when it comes to, if they're not the ones already putting the pressure on, by the way, but if it's a man who actually is feeling in some sense in his heart of hearts apprehension about this, I don't like the way we're going with this, why are we doing this? Of course, Ben Folds had that amazing song a number of years ago, Brick, and it's all about the grief of his girlfriend having an abortion. Men don't really have a say in this conversation if they're actually raising a question about it.
Right, historically, they haven't. And so I think that's why so many men are actually drawn to my message, because they are, like you said, either in one of two camps. Either they feel guilt over not supporting their partner or another woman in their life, or being the one who pushed them in that direction to have the abortion, or they feel such suffering and pain over the loss of the child that they never had a say in.
Yeah, I'd love to folks' thoughts and feelings about that. Maybe you've been in that situation. I'd love your story. You can change your name, but I just want a real story. 1-300-40-2020 is my number. That's one of the groups that you were saying you particularly get contact from. Who's the other group?
The other group, of course, is women. I've actually just been on a television show in the United States called Facing Life Head On, and their website is just facinglife.tv. Excellent, excellent pro-life show. And they did a two-part series based on my survival and my story. And within the context of the show, I actually do break down, which I do fairly regularly. Mm. When the host asks me, what would you say to your biological mother if you could say something right now? And I started to sob and I said, I'm sorry. I am so sorry that you were put in that position, that you didn't have any other choice but to end my life. Mm. I am so sorry that you've never had the opportunity to lift the shame and silence you've been enchained with all of these years. I'm so sorry that your life has been so full of pain when mine has been so full of joy. And that's absolutely the message that I give to women, just like my biological mother. I'm not a victim. I'm the victor, because I have life and I've had healing. Women like my mother, who have been silenced by this all of their life, are the ones who are victims.
Yeah, so I've mentioned this before, but Melinda Tankard-Reith's book, Giving Sorrow Words, is very much a backup of what you're just saying. Just story after story after story of women who have actually had abortions, and just the deep hole in the heart that has existed generations later. Leave us just with just some guidance for that woman who is in that situation. She's actually feeling that. She had the abortion for whatever reasons, but she's feeling the effects of it now. What do you say to her?
The first thing I would say is, you're so loved. You are so loved. At the end of the day, when we can't love ourselves, the Lord loves us, and we need to reach out in faith. We need to do whatever it is that that person feels most comfortable with to find some healing. Everybody does it a little bit differently, and so it's about finding someone that they can speak to get that burden lifted from their heart, whether it's a family member, a friend, a member of the clergy, a counselor. That's the first step, is not being silenced by abortion anymore. It's about then taking other steps to healing, slowly but surely. There's great retreats like Rachel's Vineyard retreats that would allow someone to really do a lot of great work in healing their heart and their soul and their faith around how abortion has affected them and even their relationship with God. We know that it impacts every relationship. And there's always hope. It doesn't have to be a bad day every day.
Guess that would also fit for the men involved too, hey, who are also feeling that sense of grief.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. People deserve better in this world than to be enchained by grief and suffering.
And in fact, there's another group of people that we often don't bring into this conversation too, and that's actually the grandparents. That's actually the parents of a woman who has made that choice or is facing that choice too. What do you say to them?
If people ever visit my website, they'll actually see this ripple of water, and there's a quote, and my quote says, "One decision, one single moment can have such a detrimental impact on so many people, living and dead, born and yet to be conceived." And that's what my ministry is about not just parents, but grandparents like mine who are grieving the loss that they never had the opportunity to know me and love me. It's about aunts and uncles and cousins, friends, siblings. I always hear from siblings who are grieving the loss of their brother or sister and also have immense guilt of why them and not me. It's about the fact that all of these families around us and ultimately our communities are touched by abortion. Everyone is touched and everyone is hurting in one way, shape, or form. So everyone needs to find healing in the world that we live in today.
Okay, Melissa, thank you for telling us your story. It's certainly an amazing story, and God bless you as you continue on in your life and your work.
Thank you.
Yeah, Melissa Oden. If you want to visit that website that she mentioned there, Melissa Oden, it's got an H in the surname there. So it's Melissa Oden, O-H-D-E-N, melissaoden.com. A couple of other websites that would be worthwhile you knowing about if you're in that situation, if you're facing that pressure, if you're kind of wrestling through those big choices, realchoices.com.au, pregnancycounseling.com.au, lifenetwork.org. So melissaoden.com, realchoices.com.au, pregnancycounseling.com.au, lifenetwork.org.au, and we're happy to give you the phone numbers and things like that related to those organizations if you'd like to give us a call, 1-300-40-2020.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.